B-Pod Studios.
All right, welcome back to Felger and Mads, fourth and final hour. Mike's out today. Murray's alongside Tim McBone here to give us headlines. Yeah, you know, I keep calling this a re-entry Monday. It's really not a re-entry Monday. Most of you are not re-entering. It's more like an extension of the weekend, particularly for Murray, who, as usual, is like working like a dog. How many days a week you work like during the football season, Murray?
Seven. 7 days. 7 days for about 6 months or so. I like it, though. Keeps me busy.
Idle hands are the devil's playground, as they say.
I've heard that. So again, down in Fort Myers today, John Henry and Tom Werner sat on the picnic benches, gave their annual State of the Red Sox address. And a lot of people making headlines out of what Henry said about John Lester. And this is now 5 years. 5 years ago is when John Lester showed up at camp in the final year of his contract. The Red Sox lowballed him. Larry Lucchino offered 4 years and $70 million. And Lester deemed that to be an insult. A few months later, they had traded him at the All-Star break, and that was that. The Red Sox finished last, and then as a result of that, had to go out and spend big money on David Price in the free agent market. Today, John Henry said, "I think we blew the John Lester signing in spring training," which many people have interpreted as admission that the Red Sox screwed up, and that's it. Dan Shaughnessy, in a column that was posted on BostonGlobe.com just a little while ago, "There were no shots fired and only a few bullet points to be taken from Monday's presser," Shaughnessy writes. 5 years after the fact, Henry conceded, quote, "I think we blew the John Lester signing in spring training." Okay, end quote. That's it. Shaughnessy doesn't write anything else about that comment. And the more I thought about this, you know, and I missed it too initially, there's news in there. There's news in there, and it really comes in the context of the whole series of questioning with John Henry down in Fort Myers today. The Red Sox are really at a pivotal part of their roster building here over this 18 months coming up. Huge, huge part of their roster building. They just won the World Series. They just set a franchise record for 108 wins in a regular season and then won 11 more in the postseason against just three losses. With a team that looked absolutely awesome, okay, awesome. At the end of this year, Porcello's a free agent, Sale's a free agent, Bogarts is a free agent next year, Betts and Bradley. So the core of your team, your star players, oh, and by the way, J.D. Martinez can opt out after this season as well. So just about every star player you have could be a free agent within the next 18 months. Sale is obviously one of the key elements of that and the anchor of your rotation, despite missing the final 3 months, call it, of the season last year. And he pitched in the postseason but was never really as effective as he'd been in the past. Has a history of fading down the stretch. This all triggered a sequence of questions for the owner in which you're going to hear Sean McAdam of Boston Sports Journal ask Henry here about the willingness to sign Sale, given the team's unwillingness in the past to do so with pitchers who were 30 years old. Go ahead, Mason.
You have been on record in the past about being reluctant to commit to players 30, pitchers in particular, 30 or older, the John Lester situation. You then later signed David Price. Is it fair to say that, you know, your thinking on that has evolved a little bit, or does Chris fall out of the norm for you and isn't as big a risk?
I think Chris falls out of the norm because he's just such a great, not just a great pitcher, but a great part of the team. As we saw in the World Series, he had quite an impact just being on the bench of the World Series. So he's a special player. We would love to be able to sign him. I think he would like to as well. But there are the realities of the marketplace and budgets. And this is his opportunity to be a free agent, so. Potentially, which we'd like to avoid, but I think he would as well, so something could happen.
Is everything
Let's said? Pause there quickly, Mason, okay? So, again, that's Henry talking about Sale. And I asked you this earlier, Murray. Would you sign Chris Sale to an extension right now?
No, not right now. I think you have to wait to see how he looks this summer coming off that shoulder issue where it felt like he was going to be shut down for the rest of the year. And granted, he did come back, and we had that fantastic lasting image of him striking out Manny Machado in the World Series and, you know, him buckling, and it was just a great moment, right? But still, there's a big concern there with that shoulder. I would like I'd like to see him here long term, but you have to wait until the end of the year. You got to see how that thing holds up in August, because you've had two breakdowns, two straight years, and last year it was terrifying.
I mean, you have evidence here with Sale. You have internal evidence. I mean, he was here when all this happened.
Right. This isn't the guess of, well, pitcher hits 30 and, well, they start to break down. No, the last couple of years, you literally have proof.
You've lived it. You've lived it.
Right.
It's not even on paper where you've seen it in another market. You've lived it. You've seen it happen. In the case of John Lester, Lester didn't break down.
I know. No, that was their dumb guess that blew up in their face.
I mean, Lester was a guy who was durable, and again, so these two things are connected, and this is the part that I think some people miss today. That's all. I just think it's worth mentioning that you have the question about Sale and him being 30 and whether or not that was a deterrent for signing him long term. And then immediately after, Steve Buckley now jumps in from the Herald and asks Henry about, well, wait a minute. Everything that you just said about Sale, couldn't we have said the same thing about Lester, right? Go ahead, Mason.
Is everything you just said sort of applied to John Lester a few years ago?
I think we blew the John Lester. We blew re-signing him in spring training. So for reasons that are pretty apparent now, which I won't go into, but they're apparent.
Okay, they're apparent, meaning Larry screwed the thing up and we butchered it, and then we had to trade him because we couldn't sign him and we pissed him off. And that was the end of that. But the whole point of this is that Henry himself is telling you, well, no, it's not like Lester, because we wanted Lester. We butchered that. We butchered that. And so I think, in effect, what he is saying is we want to sign Chris Sale. We need Chris Sale. And we wanted Lester, too, but we mishandled the negotiation. Okay, so that created a set of problems, and then that was it, and we messed it up. And I'm surprised by this, because I sort of bought into the whole idea that the Red Sox don't want pitchers in their 30s with a lot of miles on them, and Sale has a lot of miles. And the only reason they brought David Price in is because they didn't have a choice. So why did you bring in Price? Well,
that was Dombrowski's first big moves, right? Like, he said he wanted a frontline pitcher and he wanted to have someone on the back end. So he brought in Price and he brings in Kimbrel. So, you know, that made all the sense in the world at that time.
And you had a young nucleus coming up in Bogarts,
right,
and in Betts and in Bradley. And you felt like what you didn't have was pitching. So you let Lester go, and then you had to pay another $50 million or whatever it was to get Price in here to replace him. So we sort of looked at that as saying, well, you should have kept Lester in the first place. Now I'm wondering if the Red Sox are going to make the same mistake. Murray, would you say Price was worth it?
Yeah, he has been now, yeah. Yep.
Do you think he's been worth it, McBone?
I mean, you won a World Series, so ultimately I think you have to say yes, but I also think this contract's going to get really ugly here down the stretch.
Okay, would you have said it was worth it, Murray, a year ago?
No.
Okay.
No, it's been justified with his postseason performance and the fact that they won the World Series.
Okay, so but it took 3 years.
Yeah.
And it took a huge performance in October, and it took them, you know, having maybe the greatest season in club history for you to get there. Okay, and Price was a big part of it, so I don't want to minimize that either. I think that that's an important thing. You shouldn't minimize that. But I wonder with Sale, I don't know if I want to make that mistake. I don't know if I want to make it again. And Sale, unlike Price, and Price got hurt in there too, although he's avoided surgery. Sale fades every year.
Right.
Go ahead, McBone.
Well, no, you won the World Series with Price, so I guess it's worth it. But I would say the vast majority of fans also would have liked if Price had opted out of this contract. So I think that kind of tells you where you're at in terms of the deal.
So now, look, I don't know what Chris Sale would require to re-sign. I have no idea. But this is related. It's all related. John Henry coming out today and saying we blew the John Lester thing 5 years ago is his way of saying we want to pay Chris Sale. That's how I interpret it. No, we want to pay Chris Sale. We made the mistake with Lester.
If he's the first to get a deal, considering all the guys that are going to be up, their priorities are out of whack. And you can't do it now. Not with him. Not with that shoulder issue.
So, Murray, I'm with you. I wouldn't pay this guy either. I wouldn't do it right now. And I love Sale. I love his compete. I love all of that. But there was also a question. And again, at the time when I was listening to the press conference, I listened to it right before we came on, right before we came on the air today. I didn't connect all these things. He was asked about Sale's health. Mason, if we could play the cut on the Sale injury. Okay, because initially I jotted this down and I thought, oh, the Red Sox were very, very secretive about any injury concerning Chris Sale last year. They wouldn't tell us much, and Sale has been even more secretive. Tells nobody anything. Sale won't talk about it, so nobody knows. So Henry was asked about investing in Sale, given the injury that Sale had at the end of last year. It went like this.
Sale's obviously has had some shoulder issues. Does that concern you in a long-term commitment to him?
No, he's healthy. He had minor issues. They ended up taking a bit of time. He needed some rest at one point, but he hasn't had any significant shoulder issues. Significant.
So again, he emphasizes the word significant there as if to say, no, he had minor issues. And I don't know. The Red Sox were secretive about this. It probably was minor because I don't know he'd have been able to pitch at all, although it was the World Series. You'll push guys a little more than you normally would. That's a factor, too. But at the same time, Henry's a little loose. Henry says things sometimes that he shouldn't say. And he lets information come out that he shouldn't let out. So, again, it's been 5 years, but has anybody come out point blank and said, we screwed up the John Lester negotiation? So Henry is want to do these sorts of things. It'll come out like that. So when I first heard him say, no, it was a minor thing, I thought, okay, well, then maybe we're dealing with some sort of tendonitis, and they were able to make their way through it. Fine. I add it all up and I say, they don't think he's hurt. They think he's probably some sort of physical freak, plastic man who bends in all kinds of different directions. They admitted they made a mistake with Lester now. They're going to pay Chris Sale. They're going to pay him. They're going to try to give Chris Sale some sort of big deal now that probably has some sort of work stoppage protection in it. Because otherwise, why would Sale sign it? Because the more you hear coming out of spring training, it feels like they're headed to a strike or a work stoppage here in a couple of years. It's getting nasty between owners and the players' union. Tony Clark issued a statement today ripping the commissioner. So all of that, they're going to give Sale money. And aren't I the a-hole? I'm not sure I like it. I think it's a mistake. And Murray, you're with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
And McCone, you're with me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mason, what about you? You with me too?
No, I want to sign him right now, actually.
Seriously? All right, well, turn Mason's mic off. We get a collection of a-holes here today. We'll be back with your calls next.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mendes, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A lot to get to this week. Felger will be back tomorrow. I'm sure he'll want to weigh in on the Anthony Davis stuff from over the weekend. Kyrie Irving. I said this earlier. On the chance that you're out there in your car today, if you get a chance, read Gary Washburn's column in the Globe today. I just think the downside is that it was written on a holiday. So I don't know how many people actually saw it. It's worth a read. You'll come away from that column feeling as pessimistic about Kyrie Irving's future in Boston as ever. The first paragraph alone, Gary Washburn comes right out and says, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it right in front of me at the moment, it's a possibility that Kyrie will be in Boston, sure, but you should also expect that he's going to meet with the Knicks and the Nets. And you hear that, and does that sound like an engagement, Murray? Or does that sound like someone who's just dating?
No, that's a short-termer right there.
Boy, doesn't it feel that way?
Yeah.
Seriously, it scares the hell out of you. I mean, not to mention the Kyrie's perspective on what's important to him going forward and how he envied the power that LeBron James had. Envied it. Envy is something, you know, you look at someone else and you want what they have. That is scary, because if Kyrie wants that kind of power and he's going to use it, he could easily go to New York and he'll get all the cameras and microphones in his face that he wants. Matt's in Manchester. Matt, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Yeah, so at this point, I think I have more faith in Kyrie than Anthony Davis. But let's say Danny does make a trade for Anthony Davis around draft time with a package centered around Jason Tatum, and Kyrie does re-up, you know, in July. If Anthony Davis books it after 1 year, should Danny Ainge lose his job?
It's a good question, Murray.
And then bring in who? Like, what's the option?
Okay, but the point being is, would that kind of transgression be so great that it'd be a mistake that's hard to overlook or overcome?
It doesn't feel like it. It feels like he's got a job for life here.
I mean, but boy, what a mistake that'd be. You trade away Jason Tatum, and you know, the number three pick in the draft, and the guy that you would have taken number one for a guy that you get 1 year out of, and then you're left holding the bag. So this is now, do I believe that would happen to Ainge? I don't know. I mean, I lean towards no, because I'd like to think that the Celtics will do their due diligence. They'll tamper to like nobody's business, and they'll know whether or not they have a chance to keep the guy. And again, I believe that Irving and Anthony Davis are a package deal at this stage. To keep Irving, you've got to get Anthony Davis. And to keep Anthony Davis, you've got to sign Irving. That's how it feels to me anyway. I don't know. Maybe I'm on base. Tony's in Holbrook. Tony, what do you got?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Do you guys really think that not having Kimbrel would affect the Red Sox that much?
Murray?
I'd rather them have him. You know, I think it was on Friday we were talking about, you know, I think Hook threw him, Marshall Hook threw out the idea of bringing him in for 1 year, $10 million, even three at 60. It just feels like that's the most glaring hole on this team going into this season. You're trusting the eighth inning to Matt Barnes, or maybe even as your closer, and Brazier's there as your closer. And he looked good in the postseason, but I think that's a big ask as of right now. And I know that Craig Kimbrel was extremely shaky in the postseason. I can understand why that scares someone off, because I know that did to you, and you don't want to bring him back. But he has been nails as the closer for this team since he's been here.
I mean, he's more proven than anything else you've got.
Yeah, well, I mean, Warner came out today and said it's extremely unlikely, but if you could get him on like a one-year bridge deal, why not?
Yeah, I don't want him back. I mean, I just...
Even the one at 10?
No, I don't want him back at all, because I don't feel like the guy's reliable in a big spot. And, you know, if unless I'm getting a guy who's reliable, what's the point? I can find someone else to be unreliable in a big spot. Mm. Now, they'll miss him in the regular season, but I also thought that they would bring in some bullpen help by now, and the Red Sox haven't done that. So I'm surprised by that, and I've been meaning to do this. I've been venturing to do it, Murray. I haven't gotten to it yet. I want to actually go through and do the math and find out where their payroll is, because I think the real reason their bullpen is as shaky as it is right now is because they don't have a ton of money. That's what I think. I mean, but I haven't done the math yet. Let's go to Dan in Cranston. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Patriots, real quick. The one guy who's perfect for them, he's just turned 30. He's not a diva, but he is a stud, is Golden Tate. He can play in the slot, wide, anywhere. He's a smart player. I just think he's the perfect type of Patriot, like Derek Mason when they tried to get him. Same type of player. Still got 2 good years left with Brady's time frame. I think if he doesn't go for the money, hopefully he goes for the ring. That's the place he should be.
Murray, you're pretty big on Golden Tate, aren't you?
Yeah, there's really no knocks against him in terms of, like, you know, what you can make a case of, you know, not bringing him in here. It's maybe just the age, you know, because I think he'll be 31 or he just turned 30. Either way, he's been productive with the Detroit Lions, 3 straight seasons of 1,000 yards. He came along for the Eagles in the postseason, the couple of games that they played. And he's the perfect Patriot. And Belichick was gushing about him before they ended up playing that game in Detroit last year. It's a weak class of free agent wide receivers. So the problem is he's going to get a lot of money, you know, so I don't know if that's something they're willing to do.
So I like the idea of a guy who's younger, but then again, you've got a 42-year-old quarterback. So does it hurt you have a receiver for 2 years? I mean, it just aligns all up, doesn't it? You can give yourself more time. Draft a kid in the middle rounds and bring him along and see where you're at in a year or two. Anthony's in Medford. Anthony, what do you got?
What's up, Tony? Tony, I agree with you that Irving and Davis are a package deal. But I hope, like you said, Danny is not an idiot, and he does his due diligence. And if Davis does not want to re-sign here, you stay the course, or you try to get Durant. Remember he came here and they brought up Brady and they brought stupid Kelly and Lennox with him?
Sure.
I think that was genuine. There's a rumor maybe like Golden State doesn't think they can keep maybe a sign and trade with the Celtics or get him as a free agent. If not, stay your course. These guys are still younger. Build around Tatum in the picks. Don't throw everything away if Davis is not going to stay. I don't think Danny's that stupid. Thanks.
Okay, so look, again, when it comes to Davis, I have to believe that they would tamper. I mean, like, you know, who doesn't tamper in that league? There's all kinds of babbling going on.
You have to. You have to in that situation. If you're going to risk as much as you're going to, everyone compares it to Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, but those two franchises had nothing to lose with those moves. Like the Celtics giving up Jason Tatum, you're screwed if you make that trade and then a year later Anthony Davis walks out.
Murray, what do you think the chances are of having Durant and Kyrie Irving here next year?
Little to none.
How about zero?
Yeah.
How about less than zero? Durant and Kyrie Irving.
In New York.
Yeah, they're going to play together, just not in Boston.
Yeah, no, that's right. It'd be 210 miles south of here. This is exactly where it would be. Durant and Kyrie Irving. Holy crap. All right, our buddy Wayne is in Grafton. This ought to be good. Go ahead, Wayne. Oh, sorry. Wayne, stay right there. I hit the wrong button. Go ahead. You there?
I'm here. Who's this?
It's Matt. What do you got?
Hey, Tony. You ruined my train of thought here.
Well, let me help you out, Wayne. Your comment line here says Irving and Pasternak.
Oh yeah, okay. This may be a stretch. I mean, I'm not a basketball guy, but Irving, when he's out of the lineup, the rest of the team steps up. They do well and they win, but they need him to win a championship. Pasternak with that stupid off-ice injury. They're doing okay without him, but they need him to go anywhere too. And I'm proud of you guys for being there today. You're saving your vacation days for the summer. It's President's Day, and we should honor our narcissistic president. I'm going to do that in a couple of minutes. I'm going to go in the crapper and take a massive dump.
All right, Wayne, I'm going to let you go. Appreciate the call, as always.
I got nothing to add to that.
No. I'm not sure any one of us do or does. Murray, Wayne has a tendency of adding punctuation to any segment and then moves us right on to the next one.
You're listening to Phil Gurn Nash.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 Sports Hub.
So what is going to happen with you when you look into your crystal ball right now, Trent? Where do you see Trent Brown's future?
Hopefully it's somewhere where I can build some longevity. Somewhere that'll be a great place and great fit schematically in the locker room, on the field, and also a great fit for my family as well.
Any chance you're back in New England?
That's definitely something I would love. But, hey, we're going to cross that bridge when we get there.
Trent Brown, left tackle of the Patriots, free agent. Did a podcast with Adam Schefter. That was today, Mason. That's when it went up anyway. You make anything of that, Murray?
I said he'd love to be here, and I'd love to have him. I've said this. It doesn't seem like they'd be able to pay him and Trey Flowers, the defensive end.
So not like them, right?
Not like them. So if you can only have one, I know it's the less sexy option, and this isn't an indictment on Flowers, but I think it's excellent. To me, it's Trent Brown. And if nothing else, franchise him. Use the franchise tag on him, which I think would come in at around $14.5 million. And I get it. There's questions about his dedication to the game. They were in San Francisco. Even in the summer, there were, because you hear that he doesn't like watching film. But I want him. He's a human wall. He was great in pass protection, obviously, protecting Brady's blind side. Great in the running game, especially in the postseason. Brady's going to be 42 years old. I want that mountain of a man protecting Brady's blind side. And I just say franchise him because, okay, this is why they essentially drafted Isaiah Wynn last year, who blew out his Achilles, the fat kid from Georgia, which we affectionately call him here in this show. But
sorry, I missed the cue.
You need Brown as insurance. So maybe, okay, Isaiah Wynn is hopefully going to be your left tackle of the future, but coming off an Achilles injury last year, and he's essentially a rookie because he obviously didn't play, I think that's a big ask. To have that kid be protecting Tom Brady's blind side next year, I would like them to bring back Trent Brown.
I mean, I tell you, I listened to the beginning of that cut, and I'm like, he doesn't sound like a guy that's coming back to New England. And then as it goes on, he's a little more, favorable towards the Patriots, I guess is a good way to put it. Mason, play the beginning of that again. I mean, is the general question from Schefter, where do you end up? Is that? But go ahead and play it.
Where do you see Trent Brown's future?
Hopefully it's somewhere where I can build some longevity, somewhere that'll be a great place and great fit schematically in the locker room, on the field, and also a great fit for my family as well.
I mean, so, you know, when you're asked, where do you see it? Like, didn't you expect the answer to say, well, I'd love to stay in New England?
But he did.
Well, I know, but I mean, at the very beginning, I thought, when he didn't say that, I thought, oh. But you know what? For a guy like him, I can understand why he would want to be somewhere for a little while, right? He's two teams in 2 years.
Yeah.
So, look, that would be a big one.
He's the best left tackle out there. If it ain't going to be here, he's going to get paid somewhere.
So, you know what, Murray? I was thinking about this as you were talking. He's better than Solder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is he better than Matt Light?
I mean, he had a bigger sample size with Matt Light.
I mean, I didn't.
There was consistency there with Matt Light.
I mean, this guy was pretty good.
He was.
I mean, I'd say his ceiling is higher than Matt Light's. That'd be my, you know,
just his sheer size alone. He is a mountain
he's
of a man.
He is. He's massive, isn't he? Absolutely massive, for crying out loud. We just lost him. Maybe I dropped him. It's possible I hit the wrong button. I'm like an assassin on this thing, for crying out loud. Mike's in Newton. Mike, what do you got?
Hello?
Yeah, Mike, what do you got?
Oh, okay. Hey, I was trying to bring it back to the Red Sox, actually.
Go, yeah, no problem.
Okay, so I know earlier you said that you put Chris Sale like at your fourth on the list for who you want to resign, right?
Yeah.
So who would be the other three, just out of curiosity?
Mookie Betts, in no particular order, Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, yeah. J.D. Martinez.
Okay, so if you think that, like we've said over the past few weeks, like not everybody wants to re-sign here, you know that if you're the people who are re-signing him, you know that Chris Sale wants to be here, right? Because he's like all in. Like you've put through the airwaves with your recordings of him talking and all of that. Like we can hear, like he has the fire. He wants to be here. He wants to win with Boston. So they know that he's someone who wants to be here. And the other three, they're not sure. So like they got to lock him down and then figure out, first of all, if Mookie Betts wants to be here. And if he does, sign him. But if he doesn't, then figure out which one of the other two wants to be here. But first of all, Chris Sale wants to be here. The other three, they're not sure. So get Chris Sale here as soon as we can, then figure out the other three.
Okay, but Mike, just because he wants to be here doesn't mean that you should give him what he wants. You have to determine whether or not the guy is worth the investment or whether he's a danger, a risk. And so whether he wants to be here or not, I mean, it could help your cause if you want him. But the question is, do you want him?
Right. I know. I mean, I think that with our pitching rotation right now, I think that we really do need him. I think that with our, like, do you really want David Price being first and then whoever, like Nathan Eovaldi or Porcello? Like, who after that? Like, what are we going to put Steven Wright in there? Like, you know?
Yeah,
I feel like the pitching rotation is a really important part of our team right now, and that's kind of A1. And then after that, you want Mookie Betts. Definitely.
Well, it is an important part of the team. But the question is, you have a 30-year-old guy who's, you know,
broken down the last couple of years.
Correct.
And last year, it felt dire, you know? So while I understand, look, I get his point. Yeah, you do need him. And he is your ace when healthy. But that's the thing, when healthy. So I find it irresponsible on behalf of the Red Sox if they sign him to an extension now. Wait and see if that shoulder breaks down again come August.
I mean, again, I was surprised by what John Henry said down there in spring training today. I was surprised. When he says that, you know, he minimized the Sale shoulder injury. He said it was minor, relatively insignificant, that he hasn't had any sort of significant injury to his shoulder. That's what he said. And then admitted in the next breath that they blew the John Lester thing 5 years ago, which tells me they don't think he's hurt. They think he's a good investment. They had this the last time with Lester, and they screwed it up. And so that's why the Lester comment was noteworthy, because it relates to Sale. Again, what happened 5 years ago is largely irrelevant, but it relates to Sale. RJ's in Rhode Island. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, first time, all time. And now I get it. You know, you guys hear that all the time. But anyway, listen, I want to call and talk about Colin Kaepernick for a minute.
Okay, go.
You know what? You know what? The guy just got, what, 80 million dollar collusion contract settlement from the other day, right from the NFL. Do you really think anyone NFL team should bring him back? No. You know what? The guy has done nothing but created more collusion in the NFL and in the States. You know. But look.
All right, I'm going to let you go. Murray, does this open the door for Colin Kaepernick or fully close it?
I can't see how he ends up getting a job in the league after this whole thing was settled. And now, you know, he had his attorney saying that maybe the Patriots are where he lands. I don't see it. Like, now, I said it earlier today, and I'll say it again. I would like it just from a sick comedy aspect, because it would make so many people so mad, which I would find hysterical. Because, like, oh, I can't believe we're... Like, all the right people would be so angry if Colin Kaepernick came here as Tom Brady's backup. But the fan in me, like, I can't really support it because I think he stinks. Like, his last 3 years in the league, he was terrible as a starter.
You don't like the quarterback?
No, and he's 31. Like, at this point, I think you're already okay with your old backup quarterback that you would accomplish nothing with in Brian Hoyer if Tom Brady went down. It would be the same thing with Colin Kaepernick. I get the mobility. Maybe that's something Josh McDaniels wants to work with. And in terms of him being a pocket passer, as a starter, his last few years in the league, he stunk.
Oh, no two ways about that. Yeah, I mean, he blew. No two ways about it. Ryan's in Weymouth. Good, Ryan.
Yeah, what's up?
What do you got, Ryan?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the Anthony Davis stuff. I didn't know if the Pelicans were able to, where he says it's a destination in Boston now, were the Pelicans able to sign an extension if we say we would trade Tatum?
Ryan, do you believe that he regards Boston as a destination? You bought on that?
Not really sure. I think it's kind of contrived. I think that he might just be echoing stuff. So I kind of agree with you there, but I don't know. Like, if he's signed, then it's on paper, you know? You know what I mean?
Well, okay. Well, look, he's got one more year left, and he's not going to sign with anybody until he's a free agent at the end of 2020. So whoever acquires him this summer is going to do it with the idea you're going to have him for one more year. That's it. That's all you're going to get. Unless you tamper and you do some sort of due diligence in the background. You explore every avenue possible to find out what your chances are to re-sign him. And then, if you think your chances are pretty good and you're Danny Ainge, you probably make the deal anyway. So, you know, they're not going to extend him and trade him. Anthony Davis isn't going to do, unless it's the Lakers, I guess, because he's clearly, you know, made it apparent that he wants to go play in Los Angeles. Delvin's in Gardner. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. My questions are on Kyrie Irving and staying in the Celtics. Why aren't we talking about Gordon Hayward as a factor for Kyrie staying? In addition, if the Celtics make to the finals, the Eastern Conference Finals again, and then get taken out, you know, have a nice 4-3 series, is that a factor for Kyrie to stay, or does he leave?
I think two things factor in Kyrie Irving signing an extension here. I think, obviously, Anthony Davis. And then the other is, the deeper the playoff run, I think the more you can convince him to stay, I'd like to think. Because you would think, if basketball and winning another ring is important to him, well, that would show him, okay, we're really building something here, we're close, we had Anthony Davis, we can be the best team in the league. But he has a million other interests, as we know, and if you read the Gary Washburn column in the Boston Globe today, he's got things to say, and he hasn't unfortunately been heard enough, and this is why he felt like he was living in LeBron's shadow. So all that other stuff, unfortunately, factors in. But just from a basketball standpoint, I think that's important. The deeper the playoff run, the better of a chance you can convince him to stay here.
You would think, right?
You'd think.
You would think so. I mean, with these guys, this is part of the deal, is that you just don't know. You don't know ultimately what they value. And I don't remember who it was that said this to me. I was just talking to somebody in the NBA, and they made a good point. I think I've said this on the air, that if you look at the big free agents this year, Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie.
Kemba Walker.
Okay, but the first three have all won titles. So those guys might not necessarily make their decision based on winning. When Kevin Garnett came here, or agreed to come
right
here,
it was about trying to win a championship.
Right, he was looking to win a title. He had never won one. So Paul Pierce was here. Ray Allen was here. What do we got? What's my best chance to win a championship? I've never won one. You would hope that Anthony Davis would do the same thing, but he's younger. And with young guys, you never know what decision they're going to make. Because, again, their priorities are just out of whack, and they think they're going to win one in the next 2 years anyway. Like, they all think it's easy. But all those guys, those are the three big ones. Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. They've all won. So going to a place that gives them the best chance of winning a championship, I don't know how much of a priority it is for those guys.
It's just real quick, because this has come up too with some callers. if they know, like, so if Danny Ainge and the Celtics brass know, like, as of right now, and everything that's transpired of this weekend where it feels like, wow, they're not going to get Davis and Kyrie wants to go to New York or match up with Durant somewhere else. If they know that deep down, would you want them to chase Kemba Walker?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
McCone?
No.
Really?
No. And I'm a huge Kemba guy. I'm a diehard UConn fan, but I just look at the point guard position in the NBA. It's so deep. You don't have to shell out $180 million or however much it's going to be to sign Kemba Walker. Every point guard that's been with Brad Stevens has had success so far in the NBA. I think you can find another one for a lot cheaper.
I would sign Kemba Walker. I like him.
Career year, durable. Yeah, can shoot.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, like, I don't look at it as point guard. I look at it as a guy who can score. Like, whether he's a point guard or a small forward or an off guy, I don't care. Can he get his own shot and can he score? And Walker, to me, is sort of between Isaiah and Kyrie. I think he's better than Isaiah.
He's averaging something stupid, like 26 points a game or something this year.
Yeah, he's not as good as Kyrie, but he's better than Isaiah.
Agreed.
And look at what they did with Isaiah. So if it got to that, sure. But you know what, at the end of the day, not going to make a rat's ass of difference anyway. Because you bring Kemba Walker in here, you're not going to win a title with him. You're going to go 50-32 and get bounced in the second round. That's what's going to happen. I can predict it for you. Final word is next.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deals on tires? There is only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, McBone.
Buddy.
Before you start, because while we're still on TV, I have to hold this up. So I referenced it earlier. This is McCone's Costanza wallet. Look at this thing. Like, how do you...
Honestly,
your hips have to be, your hips
point.
Have to be completely out of whack. Look how thick this thing is.
We should give that to Sosie when he comes in so we can see him.
Sit on top.
It's like sitting on a club sandwich.
Yeah.
Get yourself a small wallet.
No, it's like a Big Mac, if you're crying out loud. McBone. Between the wallet and the sex toys is always a dark secret.
Yeah, exactly. good transition into Anthony Davis talk here. You guys bringing up Anthony Davis throughout the show, and we had some callers weighing in. One with a new nickname idea for Anthony Davis.
Oh, yeah. Tony and Shirley. Tony, go.
Hey, listen, real quick. Man, you might have stole my thunder, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something right now. It's going to be the big three in New York. It's going to be Eyebrow, Irving, and Durant. Now, what do you think? Are they good? And, yes,
Tony, hold on. You said it's going to be Durant, Irving, and who?
Durant, Irving, and Eyebrow are going to go to New York.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted you to say it again. I think he means the brow.
He's kind of not wrong. It's just singular. Eyebrow.
Yeah.
Everyone refers to him as...
It's more formal.
Unibrow, yeah. Eyebrow.
He's including the initial. Yeah, the eyebrow.
All right, so we had nicknames. We also had just evaluations overall of Anthony Davis.
You contradicted yourself because, okay, you want to win, but then again, you would accept a trade to, oh, I don't know, the Orlando Magic? He tripped all over himself. I don't think he did himself any favors talking on Saturday the way that he did. A couple of things like, yep, no, I'd be happy to go just about anywhere, and that's it, and then walk away.
The way the whole thing has been handled is embarrassing. It is. It's embarrassing. It makes Anthony Davis look like a donkey. It makes Rich Paul look like a donkey. It makes LeBron look like a bit of a jackass, too. This guy's a jackass. He's a jackass. Is there any other way to say it? You're doing our evaluations. Is that what you said? Our assessments?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Do you know what Rich Paul's first entrepreneurial endeavor was?
So I heard this the other day from someone who told me. I didn't know if I haven't looked it up to see if it's true. Go ahead, Mark.
He used to sell throwback jerseys out of the trunk of his car in the early 2000s, and that's how LeBron James found out about him.
Yep, someone told me that. Someone told me that, and I didn't know if I necessarily believed it or was hearsay.
Oh, I do. No, I think that's real.
Is that on the web, in like his Wikipedia or
something? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's stunning.
I mean, that
right?
was a big thing in the early 2000s. You can buy old throwback jerseys for, you know, even if they're knockoffs, for less money than what they had, the hell you had to pay in the stores. They're going for $400. You can buy them for two. That name's going to ring out quick.
And that's one of the two guys, along with LeBron, who's got the NBA on the run right now.
Right.
Holding the whole league hostage. Yeah,
think
exactly.
About that.
The
equivalent of a guy that used to sell mixtapes out of his trunk.
You know what? There are a few people in this building. There's hope for them.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.